practice as soon as we're dismissed tonight. And I believe Ms. Haley wants to practice with the youth choir. Where would you like them? Upstairs, okay. Upstairs for the youth choir and Sister Rena's classroom for the instrumental group. Pastor?
Good evening. Good to be here tonight. Trust you've had a good day in the Lord. We'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, Jim, did you cover the information about the funeral tomorrow night in Stacy's? No. The viewing's tomorrow night. It's on the Facebook page. I don't have all the information right in front of me. Let me get it a little bit so I can get it to you. Stacy Griffith's funeral. Five to seven. It's at Heartland Church in Winter Haven, Florida. The address is 225 Avenue B, Northwest, Winter Haven, Florida. 5 to 7, service at 7 o'clock. And there will be a graveside service to, Friday, December the 9th at 10 a.m. And if you need the address to either one of those, see us after church. If you're not on connected to the Facebook page, see Brother Bill, Sister Barbara, you have it. See Sister Barbara, my wife, somebody get you the information. But the actual service is tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock tomorrow evening in Winter Haven, Florida. Some of you may not know Miss Stacy, but some years ago, she was involved with our Discovery Club and getting it started. And before that, her family was involved with the Lock Haven Baptist Church some years ago. So a lot of ties there. So if you can, if you're not able to, if you know Miss Sue, just give her a call, a card, a buzz. It's a difficult time in their life during this time. Loss of a child. So remember that. And then many of you know the Thompson boys that come down from Canada, Ben and Mike, their dad is not doing well at all in the hospital. He had to go back into surgery this evening, and they had some blood bleeding around the work they did on the heart. He is doing better. He's out. They've got the bleeding stopped. But remember Brother Thompson in Canada. Mike and Ben as well, and their mom during this hour of uncertainty that they have going on as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, real quick, we're just going to spend a little time in the Word of God, get the buses back rolling. We have a business meeting after this here tonight, so we'll just, I want to give you a few thoughts, actually. I won't rush through so much that we cannot understand, but these are some thoughts maybe you'd write down and go back and just meditate and ponder on them later on your own. But I think they'll be helpful to you. Tonight, there's just some simple thoughts, things that are pleasing to God or things that are acceptable to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 9, the Bible says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." And that should be our goal as Christians, that we are accepted of Christ, the things we do, the things we participate in, things we, how we act, that our Christian testimony ought to cause those that are lost around us to question their relationship with God, that it should give them a hunger for it, and, you know, to be quite honest, many of us, we're the only Bible that many folks will ever read. The only Bible that many folks, lost folks, read. So we have to present ourselves that way. And so we labor for that. Now, a lot of times, if we're not careful, when we're around others and outside of the home, and we present ourselves a certain way, you know, and we need to be careful not to do that. One of the things that God is acceptable, pleased with, is found in Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans 12, verse number 1. God is pleased when we take a personal interest in our presentation. Romans 12, 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So many times we look around at things of God, the work of God, the ministries that's going on, and boy, we can say, boy, Sister so-and-so would be good in that position. Brother so-and-so would be good in that. That couple would be good in that position. And we're willing to present others, but we need to present ourselves with a personal presentation. This is written, you know, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, as individuals, we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account, each one of us individually, for what we've done in this body, whether good or bad. It's a good thing to start presenting ourselves daily. Personal presentation. Lord, here am I. Am I acceptable? What the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:1, whether we labor, whether absent or present, we may be accepted in Him. Lord, I'm presenting my body to you. I'm presenting myself a living sacrifice. Is this, what I'm doing, acceptable to you? A personal presentation before God. I can be quite honest with you. In my Christian life, in years gone by, that there has been some times that my daily presentation for the Lord wasn't all what it should have been. It was not acceptable to God. It's not. The Bible says it's our reasonable service. Secondly, I ask you to look over in 1 Peter. So, God's pleased when we have a personal presentation that is acceptable to Him. And we check ourselves out. Many of us have mirrors, things of that nature. I saw some folks the other day taking a picture of themselves through the mirror and then looking to see and make sure everything, they were checking themselves out. Making sure everything was in line. So we do it before you go out of the house. I mean, many of you, check, make sure your hair is okay. I can tell you a quick way to fool with that. Just get rid of it. You just get up and leave, man. Don't worry about it. Brush your teeth, throw some soap in your mouth, rinse it out, throw some deodorant, go out. You ain't going to worry about hair no more. But we worry about it. We worry about how we look. Well, the same way we worry about the physical, we need to worry about the spiritual. And we need to present ourselves personally that is acceptable to our Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 2. Actually, let's start in verse number 19. We'll read 19 and 20. So we need to have a personal presentation that's pleasing to God. We need to have provoked patience. Provoked patience that's pleasing to the Lord. The Bible says in verse 19 of 2 Peter chapter 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. What did I say? 2 Peter? 1 Peter, sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 20. Start 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Well, that's tough reading there, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, sometimes, to be honest with you, it's easy if somebody approaches you because you have an angry countenance, you're an angry spirit, you've done something wrong, and boy, they bring it to your attention, and you take it, and you say, man, I messed up right then. And you take it patiently. Well, that's not what the Bible says. That's not the end of it, is it? It says there in verse number 20, midway through, but if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. It's easy sometimes, to be honest with you, dear friends, when you know you're wrong and your faults have been pointed out, to accept it. You just accept it. But when you've done right, you've loved people, you've cared for them, you've done everything you can for them, you've reached out beyond, I'll take a good example. Was one day I stopped at 7-Eleven, I was going to get a cup of coffee, it's probably about 2 years ago. There was a gentleman who was on a bike, had all kind of stuff on his bike. I mean, all kind of stuff on his bike. Normally, I ask a whole bunch of questions before I give any money. Normally, because I'm just being honest, I don't have no money tree growing around my house. I've got 8 youngins. Sometimes they have chewed on doorknobs thinking they were biscuits. Been tight. I don't just give money away. Nowadays, I'm seeing young men standing on these corners. Kind of just irks me a little bit. Go out and wreck a yard or something. But anyway, I pulled in there. I was getting gas, and the guy pulled up and said, sir, sorry to bother you. I'm headed into town. I'm moving out of town. I'm going to catch a Greyhound bus. Could you help me out with a little money? I pulled a $5 bill out. That's very unusual. I handed it to him. And this is what he said. Is that all you're going to give me? I said, no, sir. Hand it back. I took it back, put it in my wallet, and said, have a good day.
Yeah.
I thought you was going to give me more money. I said, sir, I gave you a $5. And boy, he went off. I just kept pumping gas. He was mad at me. Should have been glad. I got on his bicycle and pedaled off. Somebody gave me a $5. I'd have pedaled. I'd have been gone. But he was mad at me. And I tried to do right. I didn't argue with him. Didn't fuss with him. I just said, oh, no, I'm going to give you. I took my $5 back, put it back in my wallet, Brother Mike. Said, have a good day. When you're trying to do right and somebody is angry at you and they're mad at you and they do, and you take it patiently, that is well pleasing to God. Because all of us know our own faults. Nobody has to point it out. Your children don't, your wife don't, your friends don't, your workers don't. You know where you are lacking in personality, whether you're grumpy. You know if you got up out of the wrong side of the bed that morning. You know. Nobody has to really tell you. And when somebody points it out, you say, oh, man, I shouldn't have been like that. And you take it patiently. That's good. But if, when you're doing right, everything within you. So God desires that we be patient when we're provoked to anger. It's acceptable. That's what the Bible says here. But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. 1 Thessalonians. So a personal presentation. God's pleased with that. He's pleased with the provoked patience. When somebody provokes us, we just patiently take it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse number 1, 1 Thessalonians 4:1, the Bible says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. So God's pleased with a personal presentation, Romans 12:1. God's pleased when we're provoked and we take it patiently, 1 Peter 2:20. And God is pleased when we choose to walk a peculiar path, the high road. It's easy to stay low. But the Bible says here that we have been taught, we've received how we ought to walk, and to please God. What did Jesus say? To go the second mile. That's a peculiar path. You don't have to worry about a whole lot of competition nowadays on that second mile, Brother Chris. A lot of times it's just you and God. It's a peculiar path. It's not something that everybody wants to take. It's a little different. And God is pleased when we choose to walk on a path that is pleasing to Him. Do you know that, I think it was Townsend that said this, it may have been John Bunyan, that it doesn't matter if every man on the universe is against something, if God is for it, it's right. It could have been Townsend, it could have been Bunyan, it was somebody. But they said, if every man, Brother Johnson, is against something that's in the Scripture, and God put it in the Bible, it is right. That's a peculiar path. It's difficult to take that stand. You know as well as I do, you've been around friends, you've been around family, and there's something that came up, and boy, you had to just have to just generously, quietly say, you know, guys, I can't go that way. I can't do that. And they want to know why. And you give them Scripture. And they have every argument in the world. Why? That's old-fashioned. It's just, it doesn't really matter. That's not for today. That was for, you know, years and years ago. And so on and so forth. And boy, I tell you, it's pleasing to God when you take the high road. That peculiar, there's nobody going to be on there with you. So it's pleasing to God when you present yourself a living sacrifice, when you take things patiently, when you're provoked, and when you choose to walk the path that is right by God. Right by God. That's what it says here in the verse. It says how that you have received, how you ought to walk and to please God. You know, the same thing I said earlier. There's been days, Brother Corn, that I've walked not pleased with the Lord. He's looked at my steps and He said, I've put a lamp before you and you failed to heed it. And it's not pleasing. When we walk contrary to the Word of God, it's not pleasing to Him. It's not pleasing at all. Let me see. Let's go to Philippians 4:18 real quick. Philippians 4:18. So God's pleased with the personal presentation. He's pleased with provoked patience. He's pleased when we take the peculiar path. God is pleased, dear friend, when we take precious peace and enjoy it. I don't know about you, but when I have the peace of God in my life, it is a precious commodity. Philippians 4:18. The Bible says, but I have all and abound. And it says, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But I have all and abound. I am full. Paul was at peace with what God had provided. And that's a precious thing, dear friend. Because the world, the devil, and everybody around us, this materialistic thing, it has us chasing after everything. And this season, I mean, boy, the commercials, the advertising, the marketing, it's after us. You got to have it. Your kids got to have it. They need it. They must have the next new thing. And Paul said here, but I have all. It is, listen, when you are content with what God has provided, what peace. What peace. Now listen, there is somebody that's got more money than Warren Buffett. I think his name is Chico, but he's from Mexico. What's his name? The most wealthiest man in the world. Carlos Chico, huh?
Carlos Slim.
Carlos Slim. The world, Chico. That's Brother Lee and Sister Donna's dog, ain't it? Chico.
There's somebody that's got more money than Donald Trump. There's more, somebody's got more money than the Clinton Foundation. There's somebody that's always going to have more. So listen, if you're just content, God's not saying we need to be paupers. God's not saying we got to be living on the street and begging. God is saying, well, whatever, I am God, not me. God is saying, and what I've given you, be content. Be at peace with it. If it's millions, if it's trillions, if it's thousands, if it's hundreds, be content. Discontentment, dear friend, it is a disease. It causes heartache. Causes pain. Causes you to make selfish decisions. And I can go on and on and on reason, on what decisions. I saw something that I wish I would have marked that. Boy, this quote here, if I could have just marked it. I gotta share this. And it probably is going to make some of you fired up mad. But I gotta share it. So you can go home and get glad. This is just profound. Let me get here. Get it. Here goes. Everything happens for a reason. Sometimes the reason is you're stupid and make bad decisions. Discontentment. You're gone, brother. Ain't gone. I don't mean to say stupid in a bad way, but sometimes we make horrible decisions because we're discontent. Be at peace with what God's given. It helps your marriage. It helps you, you know. How many of you heard someone in this day and age who's lived, if I just had that daddy, if I just had that mom? They have their faults. They're humans. If I just had that pastor, if I just had that church, if I just had that president, if I had that governor, if I had that wife, if I had that husband, if I had that home, I told you, if I read that quote, I just preach started coming. Just precious peace. Paul said, but I have all. Dear friend, if you're saved tonight and the Holy Spirit of God lives within you, you are full. You have all. Don't look at somebody else and look at others. Don't be chasing down the Thompsons. Confess your next door neighbor or the Smiths or the whoever's. Be content. Paul said, I am full. Causes debt. People go out getting all kind of debt because they got to have this and that and another. Heartache and pain because they're not content. God is pleased when we are content. It's precious just to sit content with what God has provided. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy, we're moving on. Can't stay there no longer. I wish I could. It's a needed topic. It really is. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Things that God is pleased with. He's pleased with personal presentation that is accepted in His eyes. He's pleased when we're provoked and we take it patiently. He's pleased when we take the high ground, that peculiar path. He's pleased when we just accept the precious peace of having, well, God, You know best. And what You've given me, I'm happy with. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, God is pleased simply with this, with practical prayers. Practical prayers. How many of you have seen this commercial on TV? One of my kids brought it to my attention just the other day. Maybe it was Riley. There's Santa Claus there. There's a little kid sitting on Santa Claus' lap, and there's some parent hiding. And they tell the kid to tell the parent, tell Santa Claus, I want this. And it ain't a toy, it ain't Jackson, it's a, like a Lexus, it's like a car, some kind of cabinet. What was it, Riley?
It was a diamond ring and a Bluestone comforter.
A diamond ring and a what?
Goose down comforter.
Goose down comforter. Something that a kid would not want. Sometimes that's how we pray. We don't pray practical prayers. God is pleased with simply practical prayers. Look what he says. He gives us an example here, verse number 1, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Some of us are like that old crazy country song. I'm going to pray for you that you'll get a flat tire. I'm going to pray that something will fall off the ledge and hit you in the head. That's not praying. That is asking God to take vengeance on somebody on your behalf. First he says here, verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority. Boy, it'd be nice if we had some of that going on right now, wouldn't it? But it ain't happening. Why? Because we are not a biblically founded people anymore. We're more important things like comic books and PlayStations and PS3s to play with. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all goodness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Just practical prayers. He gave us an example. Give us this day our daily bread. What an example. Listen, I serve a God that is able to fill my cup and let it run over. Matter of fact, he says, not only I'll give you your necessity you want, but I'll give you the desires of your heart. But sometimes this is what we do. We pray for the desires of our heart and we're walking around and don't care about the clothes or the shelter or the food that's before us. We don't even give thanks for that. We're not thankful about the clothing, the housing, and the physical health. We're praying God and we spend 2 whole seconds praying. God, you know I need that Lexus. God, you know I need that Cadillac. God, you know I need this. And that's it. And you can't even get around on a bicycle. Listen, we couldn't even afford the insurance, most of us, on some of that stuff. Practical prayers. God is pleased with practical prayer. We need to listen. If our church can get a hold of this here fact, that if we are a praying church, we're going to be a powerful church. God is well pleased with that. Well pleased with that. Father, I love you. I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the simple thoughts that we looked over tonight. God, may we go home and meditate on those and look at those scriptures and study them and hide them in our heart, that Lord, to be much more help to us than we can imagine. Whether present or absent, that we be accepted of you. Lord, that is a goal that we can all achieve if we follow Scripture. You're well pleased when we follow and are obedient to thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I have a motion to enter into a